today on Real Radio.
Because if you do that, it causes you to be confident in him, not self-confident. Oh, but I got the money. See, whoever's got the money or the resources or the weaponry or whatever it might be has this tendency to be a little cocky. And in verses 1 through 5, we see self-confidence challenging their faith.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. We're in sort of a mini-series, taking a look at chapter 7, the whole chapter, by the way. This section of Joshua's book records one of Israel's defeats as God's people enter in and take the promised land. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now as he takes a look at the reasons for this defeat. It's a lesson called Five Steps That Lead to Defeat.
It was funny, yesterday my cookie rolled off my plate and over to the guy next to me. It just went boop, boop. And I would have normally just grabbed it. Wouldn't you just grab it? But there's this special zone. It's invisible. And I looked at him. And it was, may I cross over to retrieve my cookie? There's this sense of individuality that's inbred with us. And when it comes to the church, that can't be anymore. It can't be like that anymore. If you're not praying in your home, it affects my house. If I'm eating my kids up and living as a hypocrite, it affects your home. We are one in Christ. Boy, are the children of Israel going to find this out. Self-confidence always leads to defeat. But the children of Israel committed a trespass against the Lord regarding the accursed things. Achan, this man Achan, by the way, his name means trouble or the troubler. It says that he's of a certain lineage. We'll come back to that in a moment. It says that he took of the accursed things. Remember, God said, when you take Jericho, all the stuff's mine. I want all the stuff. Your first relationship in acquiring goods into the walk of faith, the first of it's mine. God said this. It's not to be debated. But Achan took some of it. Now, do you think God needed the money? Do you think he needed the silver and the gold that Achan took? No. In fact, we'll find out in a moment that Achan stole the Babylonian Calvin Klein garment. It's only one garment. Do you think God wanted it? No. It was dedicated to God. That's the point. And God says, all that's yours, the first of it, or we can say the cream off the top, God says it's mine. But if you give him the cream, he's going to bless your life. A lot of people, they'll come in and they'll say, you know, we're not making ends meet. It's just terrible. And one of the things, you know, I don't want to get into this because we don't talk about, we avoid it at all costs, is this thing about money. We're a church committed to not talking about money. But watch this. This is a spiritual fact. God says, the first of your increase, give it to me. That's time. That's energy. Yeah, it's money. You see, you're okay with energy and time, but money. Wait, God, that's my space. You stay out of there. Don't let anything come over on this part. And I'm not going to have my cookie roll over there. That's for sure, God. These are my cookies. And God says, I want the first cookie that comes out of the oven. The first one. I want the first one. God says, look, to keep your heart healthy, to keep you from getting self-confident and all trusting in the resources of self and having all this stuff amassed, I get the first of it. We don't like to hear that. Some people come in and they say, I can't pay my bills. And we have, thank God, the Lord's raised up financial counselors that will, and they love the Lord, these guys, and they'll say, well, here's where you begin. The reason why you're having problems is you got to give God first. Whatever your heart desires, in whatever direction, to whatever ministry, wherever in the world, but you got to put him first. I don't understand it, but if I'm not tithing to God, I go belly up financially. And then you might come back and say, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you, after 21 years of being a Christian, I've learned the hard way, I can't afford not to tithe. When I get my check, and yes, the bills have been coming in every day, when you sit down, what do? Do you write God his check first, or do you go straight to Citibank first? No, let those sit there. Write God first, his check, and then begin to pay the bills. I don't know how it works. I've tried to work it out on paper. It doesn't work. But God always gets us through at the end of the month. I don't know how he does it. But he does it, and untold hundreds and thousands and millions of his believers' lives. Why? Because if you do that, it causes you to be confident in him, not self-confident. Oh, but I got the money. See, whoever's got the money or the resources or the weaponry or whatever it might be has this tendency to be a little cocky. And in verses 1 through 5, we see self-confidence challenging their faith. God says Israel has trespassed. This word trespass is a tremendous word. It's not the word sin. To sin is to miss the mark. You know that. Trespass is to see the mark and walk up and intentionally miss it willfully. Or to draw the line and to see it drawn and to step over it. James Dobson talks, I think it's in The Strong-Willed Child, a friend of his that was at a Laker game. And his friend said, you can go, honey, with his little daughter. You can go anywhere you want around this place, but don't go out on that court. Those guys will step on you. Stay away from that red line that goes around the court. And he laid it all out to her, and then the next thing he knew, his friend goes, hey, isn't that your daughter down there? And she's looking at him, and she's got her foot up in the air. And she's looking at her dad in the grandstands, looking to get his attention to make sure he sees that she's going to put her foot on the other side of the line. That's called transgression. It's not a sin. Sin means you're running, you're serving, you're doing, and you cross the line. And oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Lord, I crossed the line. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. That's a sin. Transgression is this a line? Right here? God says, yeah. Well, what do you think of that? And you just step right over it. God goes, I'll show you what I think of that. But God says, Israel has sinned. So you and I would appreciate it very much if you and I would put away our sin that we think is a secret. So you and I could do much better. Because you know what? You and I are going to find out real soon that Jesus Christ is coming back, or we're going to die soon of old age. I hope he comes back soon, but he better hurry up or else I'm going to die of old age. It affects us, one of another. So God says, you know what? Israel's in trouble. Why? Achan has sinned. The nation has sinned through this man. So watch what happens here regarding self-confidence. It puts you in touch with what you believe to be human resources because he's stealing for his own selfish gain. We'll see this in a moment. But this self-confidence aligns us against God. If we're not God-dependent, we are self-confident. Self-confidence will always deceive us. It says in verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people. Now, what's that all about? Oh, Joshua sent out spies to look at the city of Ai. They had whipped Jericho, so now it's time to attack Ai. So the spies come back and they tell Joshua, things aren't right here. There's a little too much self-confidence going on here. Joshua hears the report. Hey, what's up? Yeah, you know what? It's a wimpy town. Instead of taking the whole Israeli army, let's just take 2,000 or 3,000 guys. Instead of Joshua falling on his face, the Joshua we know, you know, he basically says, whatever. He's loosening his connection with the Lord, confident in the victory of Jericho from the mountaintop experience, and he's not careful. And he sends out a couple thousand guys, and look what happens. It says in verse 5, the men of Ai struck down about 36 men of Israel and chased them before the gates as far as Shabarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. That is, when the people returned to camp at Jericho, the nation of Israel, their hearts melted. By the way, the word in Hebrew for the word heart is that their courage, their awareness, their alertness failed them. It's not cardo, heart, it's their awareness. Their awareness melted. The word melted means to liquefy, to become loose, to become diseased or infected by discouragement. This word melted. Their understanding, their thoughts, their peace completely melted, loosened, liquefied in their hearts. The nation just began to, they were, listen, next week we'll talk about part two of what this means when it happens to a nation like Israel, when the internal courage and patriotism and guts of a nation is loosed and gone through it. Like someone who's sick, they eat something and it goes right through them. There's no assimilation of the nutrients. There's no digestive powers working to strengthen the body. The courage is gone. And it says in there that they became like water. The word, I don't know how to tell you, it's mayim in Hebrew. It means wastewater, toilet water. The word is translated urine. A very foul word. These people are devastated. Devastation comes to every nation. Israel, it has come to them more than any other nation because God has called them to be his chosen people. And disobedience always has ramifications. Devastation is coming to the United States. It's already on its way. People are recognizing it and predicting it and preparing for it, but there's no preparation that's going to help. God loves this nation, but this nation has turned from God. Self-confident. God says, you didn't put me first. And so the nation, because of the sin of one man, who I'm sure in 2.5 million people of Israel at this moment, nobody knew his name about except his immediate family. One man. Look at the second point, or the second step that leads to defeat. Ignorance of what God has said. Ignorance of what God has said. Back in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua in verses 8 and 9, I will be with you, I'll be your leader, you be strong and be courageous, and don't be faint-hearted, don't look to the left or don't look to the right. You just stay right in line with me. That's what God said to Joshua, and he said, I'll bless your life, and he says, I'll make sure that you prosper. But in verses 6 through 9, we see the second fatal step to spiritual defeat, and that is ignorance of what God has said. It says in verse 6, chapter 7, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell on the earth before the ark of the covenant of the Lord until evening, both he and all the elders, and they put dust upon their heads. That's a form of grief. Joshua is shocked. He can't believe this is going on. What in the world has happened? Just like you would be if we were nuked right now by some nation. How could this happen? What in the world? They're shocked. The unthinkable has happened. You told God, you said you're going to be with us. What in the world? We've lost 36 men. Joshua, watch his response. He falls on his face and he begins to cry out. But the promises that had come earlier had been ignored and they had forgotten them. Even Joshua had forgotten. He says in verse 7, alas, Lord God. Now this is embarrassing, you guys. Haven't we loved Joshua, our leader? Watch what he says. This is like a bad dream. Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan. My gosh, does this sound like Joshua? I'm sick to my stomach just reading his cry. He's lost hope and in ignorance has forgotten the promise of God who said, I will strengthen you and bless you and prosper you if you walk in my ways. Everybody, listen up and respond, please, if you're awake. Was Joshua a believer? Yes. Did God love him? Yes. Was Israel a believing nation? Did God love Israel? Yes. Was Achan part of the clan, part of the tribes? Yes. Did God love Achan? Yes. God had said, I'll be with you, walk with me. You're my chosen people. And every one of us in this room, we want to be special. We want to be chosen. And God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And we go, yeah, oh, I like this part. Thank you, Lord. Squeeze me. Hold me tighter. And we should enjoy that. But if your foot wants to wander out here in the world and play with other things, God's going to retrieve his blessing. Does he retrieve his relationship with you? No. Are you still his child? Yes. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But what does he do? He closes up shop, so to speak. He shuts the doors. Many of you are Christians and you love the Lord and you say that you love the Lord and all that, but yet there's some sin or sins in your life. And God says, I'm not speaking to you anymore. I'm not going to talk. You say, well, God wouldn't do that. Well, you need to read your Bible again. The Christian must maintain his or her relationship with God in the area of communication on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. But ignorance leads us to defeat. Self-confidence, ignorance, we forget what God has told us. He's promised so much to us. And Joshua's saying, God, what in the world's going on? Maybe the fear arose in his heart. Have you changed? Has God somehow changed? Is there a situation in your life? And now you've finally been brought. You know, it's funny. You've been sitting around and you've been thinking, well, you know, Jack says that a lot. Is there a situation in your life where now you're at the brink and you're having to hear from God or you're having to make a choice or a decision? And you know, it just kind of goes in and out one ear until something happened in your life this week. Now it's, yeah, there's a situation in my life. It's gotten bumpy and my cookies rolled over on and over there. Hold my hand. God, are you there? Have you brought me to Chino Hills to kill me? Have you moved us to this company, into this neighborhood to destroy us? No, he's working. Remember what he has told you. God says in Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord. I don't change. Which means we're not the Lord, and we're always changing. Paul talked about Peter. Paul said, yeah, Peter, he's like a reed blown in the wind. Remember when that conflict took place in the book of Acts? A reed blown in the wind. You know which way the reed points when the wind blows? Whichever direction the wind blows. That's how we are. But know this, the Bible says that sin shall not reign or have control or lead us anymore. The Bible says in Romans, Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over us because now we have a relationship with God through grace. It's in faith, by faith, not by works. Do you realize that the Bible writes to us that we don't have to sin? The Christian can no longer say, well, I'm only human. That should never come out of the Christian's mouth, ever. Well, everybody sins. Did you know God has provided everything for us not to sin? But James says we sin when we are led away by our own desires. The problem is you and I let our desires lead us so often of the time. You know what I'm saying? And this is shocking to people. I just thought I'm a Christian. I sin all day long and I'm going to die and go to heaven. You have a zero walk. In fact, you're backslidden. You're not growing. You're not taking anybody to heaven with you. In fact, if anything, it'd be better that if you just took your cross off and peeled the sticker off your car and just stayed the way you were. Just get that Christian identification stuff away from your life. Jesus says, get hot or get cold, but whatever you do, don't be lukewarm. He says it makes them sick. Self-confidence, ignorance, the third step, disobedience. Disobedience leads us to spiritual defeat. It says in verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up, Why do you lie thus on your face? Man, that's a strong word, isn't it? Wow. In verse 9, maybe you and I can relate. In verse 9, Joshua says, "For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of all this stuff that's going on, you know, Lord, and cut off your name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name then?" I'm sure God can defend himself just fine. You see what Joshua's doing? God, you better do something. If you don't step in, you're going to get a bad rap. That's manipulation. God, you better bless me. They know it work. I've got a cross around my neck. I've got a dove on my car. You better bless me. We have to be careful. We live in the age of people rewriting God's dictionary. What does blessing mean? Well, it depends on what Christian channel you're listening to, doesn't it? I like God to define what the blessings are. Isn't it a wonderful thing to say, "Lord, bless me according to your will"? There's a prayer uttered in the Old Testament. "Lord, don't bless me to the point where I'm wealthy and I forget you, and don't let me be to the point that I'm in poverty, that I disgrace you. But Lord, help me to be balanced." Do you know 9/10 of the world today would love to be balanced? We're so spoiled. We have the tendency, not only as a nation, but as a spiritual Christian people, to become self-confident, to become ignorant of what God's word has promised us and said to us, and be disobedient. We pull our tongue out, we say whatever we want, we reel it back in and we go home. We lay our heads down at night, and we never pause for a moment to say, "Lord, have I crossed you this day? Have I sinned against you, Holy Spirit?" When was the last time we laid our heads down or bowed our knees alongside our bed or alongside our family or our friends or our roommates and said, "Oh Lord God, have I sinned this day and defamed your holy name?" God might say, "Get up and go next door and tell your neighbor you're sorry." God says to Joshua, verses 10 through 15, "Get up. Why do you lie on your face? You can't do much on your face. Can't do anything. You're no good to me on your face. Something needs to be handled." God says to the Christian home, "Get up. Something needs to be fixed. We need to fix it now. Israel has sinned," verse 11, "and they have also transgressed my covenant, and I have commanded them, for they have taken of some of the accursed things. They have both stolen and deceived. They have also put it among their own stuff."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at Joshua chapter 7, it's a study called Five Steps That Lead to Defeat. It's a look at how the people of Israel suffered defeat while entering in and taking the promised land. Five Steps That Lead to Defeat. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this incredible book in the Old Testament, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you listen to Real Radio on a daily basis, which I hope you do, you may have heard our recent special edition on SB 48 and the homosexual agenda in our public schools and history textbooks. You know what, folks? It's time to get involved. First, learn more about SB 48 at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that says Class Act. Now, this is a bill that's specific to California, but I gotta tell you, it's gonna make a big difference in our country. We've got a special 2-minute video of Pastor Jack regarding SB 48. You can also listen to the April 19th edition of Real Radio. We had an interview with Dr. John Eastman and Gina Gleason, both of whom explained the perverse agenda of SB 48 and how you have the power to stop it. So again, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Class Act. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.